at alcavision.com.
You want the bad news right off the bat? The spending cuts aren't expected to dent the $1.5 trillion deficit. Are you shocked? Pardon the cynicism right at the top. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. We go back and forth, up and down, pretty much all over the map on this overnight highway, starting with the fact that the president on Wednesday will talk about outlaying his deficit measures. You think of the $38 billion in cuts, not even close to solving the problems of the 2011 budget. Now you talk 2012 and the deficit ceiling. What a nightmare. Senator Harry Reid talked about the president, what he hopes that he's going to address, while Mitch McConnell, as you can imagine, on the opposite side of things, the Republican, went deeper on the debt ceiling and the conditions. Take a listen.
I would hope that President, I'm confident he will address the long-term fiscal problems we have as a country.
Obviously, we're going to require, as a condition for raising the debt ceiling, something really important about the debt.
Okay, yes, something about the debt. The debate has definitely shifted, and now is there really momentum to finally attacking what ails us, the massive fiscal problems? We cannot continue to go down this road. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. You could be a third grader and realize that. The numbers don't make sense. And I think it's that it's like a bunch of ostriches on the hill. They don't want to face facts that they can't live up to some of their campaign promises. It'll be interesting to talk about what the Prez offers up, because he's going to talk about putting tax increases on the budget, that putting it in there. I'm sure that that's what he's going to talk about. But ultimately, we're talking about a debate that's going to set course for us for years and years to come down the road. So what does the president have to say in a speech where he's going to outline his own goals to try to figure out the long-term deficit reductions? I don't know. I don't think there's going to be many changes probably in any of the entitlement stuff. Certainly not until after the election. I mean, it's about the election. And the biggest fight is over the 2012 budget, because the Republicans want to cut $5.8 trillion. And yeah, it's a crazy number because of the years, 10 years in changing Medicare and Medicaid. But if you're a recipient of those, I wouldn't panic one of those, because 10 years. It is interesting. It's easy to push the cart down the hill when you know it's just going to keep rolling. Who's going to stop it? Nobody's going to stop it. And a ballooning deficit, I think, in at least the debates, will give the Republicans a little bit of leverage. And they got to figure out what they're going to do if they're going to raise the government's borrowing above $14.3 trillion. If they don't, that means we default. Right off of the page, I wanted to talk about a couple of quick things at the top. One, it's definitely official. A lot of you have asked about Japan and what's going on with Fukushima. It's been over a month, and sadly, confidently, the government telling the people in Japan not to worry. Now things have naturally dramatically changed, because there's nothing but worry to go around in Sendai and areas that are close to the Fukushima plant. Given that the people stayed probably too close to that radiation, as they were told, they were safe at really pretty close zones. And other experts came in and said, whoa, 50, even further back, 50 miles away from that plant. But it's probably too late for some of those people. Who knows what they'll ultimately end up with there. It's very sad to see the Japanese people in the suffering the fate that they're suffering. It really was the ugly trifecta of disaster between the earthquake and the tsunami, especially in ultimately now here the nuclear power plant working overtime to destroy lives. And it certainly that's what's happening. And you can't go back and alter history, but if you could, that would be one thing you would demand a redo on. Why even have a plant spewing with the possibility of spewing radiation right there on the coastline? And we talk about the lack of progress when it comes to money in Washington and the budget and the deficit and the arguing back and forth and the maneuvering and everything else that goes on in D.C. when it comes to numbers. And coming up, we're going to talk about promises that are broken with politicians and making a promise and actually sticking to a promise with Matthew Cozzolato, who was a longtime speechwriter in Washington for Jim Wright and also was involved with Leon Panetta and has some thoughts of his own on what's happening politically. And we're going to talk to Stephen Schohet about Hollywood things, specifically on a new movie that's coming out on Friday that might confuse a few people. He'll explain when we get to him at the bottom of the hour. But before we do that, no movement in the NFL as far as progress on talks. But Terry Bradshaw, the great ex-quarterback of the Steelers, talked about head injuries and brain injuries due to concussions and what he's had to do because of it just recently.
I just spent 3 days in Newport Beach, California, going through the Amen Clinic myself, because I felt as though my short-term memory had just gone to pot, and I couldn't understand what was going on.
Yeah, sadly, how many times do you get knocked around when you're a quarterback or you're in any other sport where you have head injuries before you've done damage, either long or short term, to your brain? And as I mentioned, there is no progress with the NFL players. They're taking a serious page out of the playbook of Congress. And they have gone to a federal court in Minneapolis to meet with the judge who's going to oversee the mediation with the league. So the players are doing that. The NFL's attorneys are doing the same thing, but it's still not looking very good. Here we are in the second week of April, mini camps set to start, draft, all that sort of thing. And if they don't come up with something quick, they'll miss training camp, and you got to think that certainly then they're going to miss at least part of the season. I told you it wasn't looking good when it first was being talked about, but day by day, every day that goes by, it's a death knell.
Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Hello again, I'm back. This is John Swinson at Midas Resources. And I want to address a couple of issues that I hear about daily when we're talking about gold and silver. First, is there anything to suggest that sunny skies are just ahead? We continue to print fiat dollars, inflation worsens, there's civil unrest around the world, and the demand for gold and silver has never, ever been higher. Next, if you heard that possessing metals is a complicated process, I assure you that whether we're discussing a direct purchase or an IRA rollover, this is a simple, straightforward transaction. This is all about protecting your assets, and frankly, what are your options? The stock market, real estate, metal certificates? I don't think so. Please call me, 800-686-2237, extension 128. I promise a casual conversation, no pressure, no nonsense. I'm John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128, and I sincerely look forward to hearing from you.
The U.S. economy is at a tipping point. 40 cents of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. The president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was recently quoted saying, "This path will lead to insolvency, resulting in the collapse of our government and our economy. Our country can't function like this, and neither can your household. That's why you need to prepare, and priority one is your food supply. Fortunately, it's easy and affordable with the help of Ready Reserve Foods. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storable foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available with a 25-year shelf life. A full year supply of quality food for two people costs a fraction of what you pay at the grocery store. For a free full-color catalog, call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods, making preparedness simple since 1972.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
So are you good at keeping your promises, or are you very thoughtful about those promises? See, that's kind of a little bit of a spin there. Sometimes people are easy to promise because they want, they're people pleasers and they want people to like them. I don't think they necessarily do it on purpose. It's just a reaction. And then they disappoint people because they don't keep that promise. There is really something about that. We've had Matthew Coslato on before. It's been a long time, but I really love the fact that he's connected something to the promise. In fact, he's doing a second annual Make a Promise Day. So without further ado, he's going to put down his latte and join us here on ATN. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Hey, Kate. Great to be back.
So second time around, how excited are you about doing this? You know, this is going to, I have a feeling you're going to keep doing this, and 17 years from now, it's going to keep happening, and the momentum is building, and it seems like it's really built up for the second time around. Does it feel that way to you?
Well, there is momentum. There is a little bit more awareness. Last year, you were one of the few who heard about it. So last year, it was kind of a last-minute thing. And yet you didn't mention when it is, so it's coming up soon. It's May 4th. Last year, I think around April, I had this idea, let's create Make a Promise Day. And within about a month, it happened. And I had a little bit of press coverage, but there's been a lot going on since then, not just about Make a Promise Day, but I think, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm working on a book. Obviously, I think I mentioned that, The Power of Making a Promise. And Jack Canfield, you may know that name from Chicken Soup for the Soul, has done the foreword for the book. He's on board with this, and he loves this idea of the power of making a promise. So I think it's really important that Jack Canfield's involved. And yeah, May 4th is coming up real soon. I'm excited.
Yeah, no kidding. What explain to everyone why keeping a promise is so important to you.
Well, yeah, it's so important because it's all about integrity and accountability, all of those things. It's very empowering to the person who makes a promise and keeps the promise, but it's also inspiring to those around you because it shows that you're a person of your word and a person of integrity. So that's really important just to celebrate that. And when I talk about Make a Promise Day, I say it's the only official or unofficial holiday, I should say unofficial holiday that is dedicated to goal achievement, personal empowerment, and what I call integrity enhancement. So I think it's really important for society to have an agreement that everybody understands that if they make a promise, they keep their word. So I have this mantra. Now I call it Matthew's mantra. Kate, you didn't know about this before. I have four sentences, and I string them together, and this is part of an answer to your question. Make a promise, keep your word, change your life, transform the world. That's the big picture is you can transform the world one person and one promise at a time. So I think there's a lot of power in this idea.
I think there's a lot of power in it, too. Promises are associated a lot, especially these days, with politicians and the lack of keeping them or keeping them. It's like a scorecard. And you know something about politics. For everybody listening, Matthew Caslato spent 8 years on Capitol Hill working as a speechwriter. You were even an assistant to Jim Wright, who, was the then Speaker of the House. And you also worked with Leon Panetta. So you know a lot, I think, about politics. And when in crafting a speech, because you were a speechwriter, are you very careful about that when you work for somebody with a pretty big name that you run? You know, of course, you run it by them. But are you very careful about what you say in those speeches? I would imagine you have to be.
Well, one thing about a speechwriter is the speechwriter never says anything in a speech. It's the person giving the speech. So you have that sort of one degree of separation. So, and the speaker, if you're a good speechwriter, your whole goal is to really work with the person as on a collaborative basis, make sure the person giving the speech owns the speech. The worst thing in the world is to have, the idea that you're some kind of, you're a puppeteer sort of ghostwriting and someone just mouths the speech. That's not good. So you want to have this partnership, a collaboration, try to work with the person and really capture their voice and make sure that what you write is in line with what they believe. And so, yeah, you do have to be careful. That's certainly true.
Are you kind of glad that you're out of the political game now by what you're seeing on the sidelines?
Well, I miss it. I like it. I get involved a little bit. I write some, I have some political views and some reform ideas. So I do get a little bit involved, but I guess I'm not all that, I'm not involved day to day. I think there's a little bit of a, I guess a daily grind involved with it that I guess I don't mind being away from it. It's nice to have a perspective on it, too, take a step or two removed from it. But I still really enjoy watching it and being involved a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we certainly understand that here on America Tonight. When you're let me ask you this question just from the speaking point of view, because you were a speechwriter, and for all the people listening to us across America, who in your opinion was just the best flat out speaker politically that you ever saw?
Well, the first name that just pops into my mind is Bill Clinton, because not so much, you don't really remember what he said. I mean, he doesn't have those great quotes from like a Jack Kennedy or a Martin Luther King, for instance, who have, memorable quotes that people, a few at least that we would think of. But with Bill Clinton, he just really owned the moment and from an audience. He was so connected to the audience. It's almost like he was talking to you personally. And he was really good and still is a master of that. having that one-on-one connection, and you feel like he's really talking to you personally. I think that's he's one of the best at that that I've seen. I think Barack Obama is really, really gifted in this similar way, but he's a little bit more detached. He's not quite that one-on-one sort of connection that that Bill Clinton has.
Yeah. As somebody who's watching this on the sidelines and you were in the game, do you think 2012 is going to be interesting, or do you think, in your opinion, do you think Obama just wraps it up because it's kind of all over the map when it comes to the Republicans right now as to who's, you know, throwing their names in and stuff? I don't see anyone right now running away with it on the Republican side of things.
No, it's definitely true. There seems to be there's no clear front runner on the Republican side, and some of the people out there, you really, it's hard to take too seriously some of the characters who might be, you know, thinking about it, toying with the idea. So I remember, I forget what year it was, there was something about there was a candidate and then the seven dwarfs. That might be in 1988. There's like there's seven dwarfs. For some reason, I'm just thinking of that image of on the Republican side.
Sure.
There seemed to be like a bunch of dwarfs out there. I think Obama's the best thing he has going for him may be the opposition. There may not be any real credible opposition.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if something changes here in the next 6 months or so. Writer, speechwriter, political fan, and the guy about promises. The power of making a promise. Tell us that day again in May.
It's May 4th, and let me remind you why I picked May 4th. You remember, but your listeners may not know. I picked May 4th because I wanted to be able to say, "May the 4th be with you." And
I love
that's,
it.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, but it is all about personal empowerment coming up on May 4th. And if people are interested, I guess they could swing by the website, makeapromiseday.com, and find out a little bit more.
Excellent. Go to the website. Matthew, thanks, and may the 4th be with you.
Yeah, same to you. Right back at you. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Matthew. Thanks.
Right.
Always
fun
to kick it around with him. Bye-bye. Coming up, we're going to talk a little movie stuff, like I said before, with Stephen Shohat. And Stephen and I will be focusing on Ayn Rand. Somebody said to me already, who's Ayn Rand? I'm not even going to tell you if you don't know. Are you kidding? In the age of the Internet, it's so easy to just Google it. But we'll tell you all about Ayn Rand and Atlas when he joins us, as he is now also in our virtual green room. And then coming up at the end of the hour, don't forget, we've got sports shorts. I'm just going to say it has to do with horses, roses, mint juleps, hats. Anybody have any guesses as what the subject matter is for sports shorts? Think about it.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available, so get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
So remember the pinball analogy that I was talking about at the top of the show? Here we go again. Each and every week, talking Hollywood with us, Stephen Shohet. He's got a book out that's great, Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. I'm telling you, you will laugh out loud at some of the nuggets that he has put in this book. It's like a timeless book, really, honestly. I'm not just sugarcoating this or sucking up to him because he's in the wings, but it really is such a good read. So I'm very thrilled that we have him on every single week. This time we're going to talk a little Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged. And I was saying this and somebody said to me, who is Ayn Rand? Are you kidding me? You don't know who Ayn Rand is? Well, she's known for a couple of pretty big books back in the day. And also she was, I guess, playwright. She had a philosophy. She had a philosophy that she called objectivism. Oh, none of you listening to this show embody that, by the way. So without further ado, let's go to Stephen. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, how you doing? I'm fine, thank you.
You knew who Ayn Rand was way before.
Yeah. Alice Rosenbaum from St. Petersburg, born in 1905, and then took the pen name Ayn Rand later on when she started writing. And, yeah, she was involved in Hollywood in quite a long time. You know, when she came to America in the 1920s, she went to Chicago for a little while, lived with some distant relatives, got so she was very pretty good with English. Then she came to Hollywood, and she was standing outside Paramount Studios, and Cecil B. DeMille pulled out in a limousine, and she was staring at him, and DeMille rolled down the window and said, "Young lady, what are you staring at?" And she said, you know, in kind of faulty English, I really admire you in Russia. I love your movies." And he said, "Get in." And so he took her in the limo, and she told him that she wanted to be a screenwriter. And he hired her to be an extra in his movie, The King of Kings, so she could see how movies worked. And then hired her as a screenwriter, although he never really used much of what she wrote. He kept rejecting everything. And eventually she found herself unemployed, and she struggled for many years. And then she ended up writing a novel. It took several years to write, called The Fountainhead, which was largely inspired by the buildings in Manhattan that really impressed her. You know, one thing she always said, and she was an atheist, she was asked one time, doesn't it impress you, the universe, the stars in the sky? She says, "No, I look up at not at the stars. I look up at skyscrapers because I'm impressed by what men built." And that really inspired her with the with the Howard Rohr character in the movie The Fountainhead. And her movies, they don't really automatically lend themselves to the most cinematic, you know, the best probably cinematic results. I mean, the Fountainhead was finally made into a movie, and it was such a big seller that when Ayn Rand returned to Hollywood, she from New York, she really had a lot of pull. She was quite respected, and she got to have final say on the script, which she wrote, and it ended up being a very long speech with Gary Cooper that almost mirrors the novel, and that speech took about 6 minutes, and the movie The Fountainhead didn't get very many good reviews. Well, Atlas Shrugged. I mean, the final speech by the character John Galt, and not to give the story away, is 60 pages. So how you'll do that in the cinema, I don't know. Now, this movie coming out on Friday is part of a trilogy. It's Atlas Shrugged Part 1, so they don't have to get to the big climatic speech yet. But I don't know how they'll do it exactly. And you know, it's definitely a challenge.
Yeah, no kidding. And who are the some of the players in this movie? I don't even know.
Yeah, they're not famous. You know, at one point it was going to be Angelina Jolie. A couple years ago, she and Brad Pitt were going to be involved with a miniseries, and it just fell through. Angelina Jolie. It's interesting about Angelina Jolie. I mean, everybody, you know, automatically assumes she's a Democrat, and she's poo-pooed that notion. She's kind of politically independent. Brad Pitt's definitely a Democrat. But she really wanted to do it, but she said that it wasn't something that she was going to do unless it was right, and I guess it never turned out that way. And so the man who owned the rights to it, it was a businessman named John Aguilero. His option on the film, which he purchased 20 years ago, was running out, and he said, "Well, you know, if I don't make it now, it might never be made." So he got a $10 million budget, and he's using actors. The lead actress is a lady named Taylor Schilling, and it's pretty much a not very big name. I don't know if people will recognize any of these names. I think Michael Lerner, people have seen him before, and Armin Shimerman, who used to be on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. But it is not a big name movie, and right now I'll tell you something that's happening, Kate. I mean this is an independent film, but just in Hollywood generally, they're willing to go without big names in a lot of movies. I, I, I mean, they're remaking Superman with Henry Cavill. They're remaking Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, who might become a big name. But movie stars are becoming secondary to the concept, and I think that's what John Aguilera is hoping here, that you know, Ayn Rand is really the star. And of course, this movie, unlike a lot of movies, is definitely aimed at conservatives, even though, ironically enough, I mean, Ayn Rand often put down conservatives and like I said, was an atheist. So even though the capitalism of her ideas appeals, some of the other things might not. Now the thing is, the book The Fountainhead the book Atlas Shrugged had a lot of steamy sex scenes, and I don't think people can expect that to be in this movie, which is going to be more focusing on the philosophy and the ideas of capitalism, not really going for the graphic stuff.
And you're right about that. You look at Atlas Shrugged, and the appeal would be more conservative based. But do you think somebody who considers himself to be left of left would go and see this anyway?
I think some will. Yeah, I know a lot of people who are interested in Rand. Like my mother, for example, is a big liberal, and I'm a diehard conservative, and so she's probably read more Rand than I have. I think it will have some interest. Now the thing is, it's a movie that's going to be tough to gauge by reviews, because people are going to have their preconceived notion about it, I think, and there's going to be definitely bias by the reviewers. Now, not good for the movie. PJ O'Rourke, who's definitely a conservative, has given it kind of a lukewarm review, the other thing is, I mean, it's such a long novel. Can you get the gist of the story in three movies or even one movie? I mean, the movie's not very long, only an hour and a half. And a TV miniseries might have been the best way to go here. But I think a lot of people will want to support this movie because, of course, a lot of people are not always happy with the current Hollywood fair. And I think, on a political level, it's an opportunity. And I think if you look at movies that have had sort of a conservative bent, like, say, The Blind Side, people have flocked to come out to see a movie like that. This is probably a much deeper philosophy than that. But I think people will be ready for this entertainment. Aguilera has said, unless this movie makes $30 million, there's not going to be part two and part three.
Ooh.
He just can't afford it.
Yeah, no kidding. And you wonder how that carries over. It's like, I know these are completely different genres and just a completely different, but remember the Kill Bill trilogy, how that all went down? And so you had to wait for the second, the third, but the audience was there for that, and this is a way different subject matter. Can you get people to carry over with this kind of stuff? You don't know.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. You know, Ayn Rand worked on, she wrote this book in 1957, and she worked the whole time, the rest of her life, pretty much on the screenplay for the book. It's interesting. She was actually a big fan of Mickey Spillane and a big fan of Charlie's Angels. She used to love that show, and she actually wanted Farrah Fawcett for the lead role. But again, one of the problems was, to be fair to the Hollywood people, it's not just, there is a big political bent, but it's also, can they make this cinematic? And that was a big issue, there are people in Hollywood who would have similar points of view, or at least want to allow this type of movie to come to the screen. The question is, long speeches, lots of talking, can you make it cinematic? And it'll be very interesting to see how it goes with this version that's not a Hollywood film, but it, even though it's made in L.A. mostly, and a real independent effort here.
I think you and your mom should go see it together.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. No, my mom, you know, my mom's a good sport. My mom's a good sport. If I could just get my mom to vote for Bachman, you know, then we will be going someplace. By the way, do you know, Ayn Rand probably wouldn't have voted for Bachman. Ayn Rand was totally against a woman being president and commander-in-chief of the army. I mean, she said, if a woman ever runs for president, no way would I vote for them. So
you kind of love that.
Yeah, take that for what it's worth.
Exactly. Stephen Showhead, thanks as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it.
All right, so Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged. That was a great kind of a review heading into the movie this weekend. We'll do our cheap movie review, by the way, at the end of the week here on America Tonight. On the flip side, sports shorts.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at herbalhealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at herbalhealer.com.
It's been called the most exciting 2 minutes in sports and involves a bunch of three-year-olds. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Lil Drums. Every bit as fun as a full-size Nestle drumstick cone and definitely cuter. Visit us at drumstick.com. Vacations are all about family time, but you don't have to leave home to have fun. Take 1 weekend a month and devote it to family activities. Pull out the board games and puzzles, serve up some treats, or have a picnic. Even without leaving home, you'll feel like you've really had some time away. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Every year, the first Saturday in May, all eyes are turned toward Churchill Downs for the oldest horse race in the country. It all started back in 1875 thanks to Colonel Meriwether Lewis Clark, the grandson of William Clark,
Remember the Lewis and Clark expedition? He made a jaunt of his own to England and Paris and saw two of the biggest horse racing events at the time. He was hooked, prompting Clark to build Churchill Downs and set up a race of the best three-year-old thoroughbreds. The first Kentucky Derby featured 15 horses. 10,000 people watched. The horse who wins the race has a shot at racing's Triple Crown if they move on to win the Preakness and the Belmont. Affirm was the last horse to do that in 78. The first race of the three is so popular, people all over the world hold watching parties where many will sip mint juleps and wear fancy hats. Two of the very biggest traditions spawned from that race in Kentucky. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. Kentucky Derby is coming up pretty soon here as we're going deeper into April, 3-4 weeks away. It's really 3.5 weeks away, and before you know it, we'll be into the Derby. We're going to have a great Derby preview for you. We might actually even handicap it. Yeah, see how all of you do. It is the first leg of the Triple Crown, as I mentioned. Coming up, we've got email to check because all of you have so much to say that the box is overflowing. We're going to do that in a second. But first, here in America tonight, we turn our attention to something pretty sad. They're saying this Predator drone might have killed some U.S. troops. The military is still investigating, but it does look like this is the first case of American troops ever being in this position, being killed by a missile that was fired from a drone. They're looking into the deaths of a Marine and a Navy medic, and they're talking about a Hellfire missile that was fired from one of the Predator drones after they were mistaken for insurgents, apparently, in the southern part of Afghanistan last week. Ooh, how sad is that? That's would be considered friendly fire of a different sort, but here you have this unmanned aircraft that is a powerful weapon in this war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're certainly expanding the use of the drones and a lot of the operations, and there has been lots of conflict over this because of some of the civilian casualties, and even the drones, in many cases, are used just for surveillance, not as a weapon. But this was a drone that was apparently armed and is used to hunt, let's face it, and kill terror suspects, militants, whatever you want to call them. But this would be the first case if they can, after this investigation, can for sure claim that where a drone might have been involved in this friendly fire deal. And just how sad is that for those, certainly for those families. And the people in question, the ones that were hit, one of them not far from where our satellite facility is here for America Tonight in Arlington, Texas, Marine Staff Sergeant Jeremy Smith, and the other guy, Seaman Benjamin Rast, who's from Michigan. And what happened is they were moving toward a group of Marines who were just getting shelled in the Helmand province, and they won't really tell you many more details other than to say they're looking at the circumstances that led to this happening. But the Marines were under attack, and what it looks like is they mistook them. It seems to make sense, right? They mistook them for something else, for militants. I mean, that's what happened here, I would think. And, man, just sad stuff. And already, Smith's father, anyway, the kid from Texas, his father said he didn't want to place any kind of blame for what happened. And, you know, what he said, though, was it was a royal screw-up, and I don't want another family to have to go through this, so fix it. Whoever killed my son, you know, the bottom line is they didn't send the drone over there to have that happen. So can you imagine the person who fired the missile? I mean, can you imagine how they're feeling right now?
I'm sure, just awful. But it does bring the question up of the drones and the issue as to the control of the drones and should they be used in certain circumstances. All right, we're going to go to, quickly here, we're going to go and check, as promised, the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Can I hear it one more time? I can't help myself.
You have mail, mistress.
We have to pay $1,000, by the way, every time that he says that. So that's $2,000. Ugh. Ted Anderson's going to kill me, I bet.
Yeah, baby!
So, let's move on to some of your emails. This one from Little John. I have my doubts about a man who puts little in front of his name. But okay, Little John says, Kate, I know you're high on the whole NASA thing. I've heard you talk about the shuttles before. And I was just reading something about where the shuttles are going to retire. Do you know anything else about it? I just heard something about the Kennedy Space Center, and that makes sense in Florida. Well, yes, in fact, the Atlantis is going to be there in Florida. The Endeavour will be at the California Science Center, they say, in Los Angeles. And the Discovery is going to be at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum. They've got a place where they're going to put it in Virginia. And then I guess I love this, too. The test shuttle, the Enterprise, will be at the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in New York. Boy, if you ever go to New York City for whatever reason, go to the Intrepid. I got goosebumps when I went there. Think of anything flight-wise, and you'll see it. From the Concorde to a sub. And then, of course, you're on the deck of the Intrepid walking all over the place. It's one of the coolest, I think, places I've ever been as far as a, quotes, museum is concerned. It's really easy to get to. And I love that they're going to have that test shuttle there. But I like the fact that the shuttles are spread around in different areas so everybody has a chance to see a piece of history. I mean, the shuttles are a piece of history, no question about it. Here's another one. This is from Zohan. Hello, America. Tonight, I was reading the thing about the Air France jet. Boy, all of you are reading stuff. I was reading the thing about the Air France jet and what happened on the runway. Do you think it's kind of lucky that it wasn't worse? Yeah, I mean, of course it's lucky that it wasn't worse. With anything with planes, whether on the ground, taxiing, whether it's an accident, the plane itself, like the fuselage thing, but the Air France, it was a clip deal, and they caught it on tape. The Air France plane hit another plane, or clipped another plane, clipped is the right word to use, when it was taxiing for takeoff, and nobody was hurt. So that, yes, of course, that's the good news there, but it is pretty scary because what's going on behind the scenes that they're that close? It's just somebody took their eye off the ball for a second. And I think of all the places that I fly to, usually they're pretty busy airports like O'Hare or LaGuardia in New York or Philadelphia International Airport, LAX, although I try to avoid LAX when I can. Last time I was in Los Angeles, I flew to Burbank. Whenever you can get a regional, you know, the smaller airport in the same city, usually it's so, so much better. So you know what to do, just like they did. If you have any thoughts on the show, or both of those had to do with current news things, you can certainly send us your thoughts at americatonight.net. Go there, all roads lead through the website, click on the email, and boom, you're in.
Oh, just a minute. We are being reduced to reading emails from some jerk like we're in a choir or something. That is absolutely ridiculous to be reading emails from jerks. I resent it.